I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Tonight, today, we talk about Rick and Morty. Not just Rick and Morty, but a character called Jamie as well. My name's Howell, this is Jamie.
Yeah.
Regulars, Matthew Wandless join us as well from London. And Jack Boardman, our work experience boy, who is both pointless and useless in equal measure. And the point of having us all together is to talk about different box sets and give the ignorant first episode opinions to see if we can be bothered continuing. So hopefully you can listen to us bigging up a box set or criticising a box set and decide whether or not you should spend your time on it. Tonight it's going to be on the adult cartoon Rick and Morty. We're going to get to that in a moment. But first, I want to tell Matt and Jack a story from Jamie's wife's Facebook page. Are you sitting comfortably? Well, here we go. So she writes, it's fairly long, but it's worth it, okay? So pay attention. Today, George, our son, is 9 months old. Incidentally, if you're curious about the impact of 9 months of sleep deprivation on someone's problem-solving abilities, take a moment to read my merry yarn. Last night, Jamie piously announced that he would be retiring to the guest bedroom in the loft for the evening so that he wouldn't be disturbed by George if he woke and could get one last good sleep before he goes back to work on Monday after 2 weeks of annual leave. As I went out with the girls last night and left him alone, I was in no position to deny such a request. All was well until about 2 a.m. in the morning. Bleep, bleep. Bleep, 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 bleep. That ear-piercing, sleep-shaking sound of a smoke alarm. Bleary-eyed, I stumble out of bed and I followed the sound upstairs to the loft, where I knew the smoke alarm up there had been malfunctioning. To my confusion, though, although I'd now followed the sound, I was up there and the alarm somehow sounded far away, but still really effing shrill. Jamie, I ask in the dark room, where's the smoke alarm? Jamie's reply here is the reason that I could get 10 years of a radio career out of Jamie Atherton. Jamie's reply was, oh, can you hear that? yeah, what the F? Peach, he says, I've done something really stupid. My heart sinks. My heart sinks. I know whatever it is, it's bad because A, he's used my pet name, and B, he's admitted immediately that he's done something stupid. He never usually admits it. And three, he sounds really tortured. I thought if I put the alarm out, this is Jamie quote. I thought if I put the alarm outside the Velux window on the roof, that it would stop beeping in the fresh air, and we wouldn't be able to hear it. But it slid when I put it down, and now it's stuck on the roof and won't stop bleeping. I've tried, but I can't reach it. So we'll have to wait for it. We'll have to wait for it to stop and get a roofer out in the morning to get it down. Are you kidding me? And so somewhere we can't reach to reset it, and the whole village probably can hear it. We all know how loud and persistent the alarms are, for goodness sake, and it's sitting proudly on the roof. I tried to get back to bed, but it keeps bleeping, and my head is spinning with questions. Why doesn't my husband understand the basic physics of gravity? Do I have one child or two of them? What was he thinking? Or bleep, bleep, bleep. How much is it going to cost to get someone out on the motherfudging Sunday morning to fix this? Oh, this is like that episode of Friends where Monica drops her smoke alarm down the garbage chute, except no one is laughing. After about 2 hours of rumination, Googling roofers to call around in the morning and posting a pleading and cryptically worded job ad on the local buy-sell focus group, Facebook group, I can't take it anymore and go back up to the loft with a torch to look for myself. Jamie, I can't see it up here anywhere on the roof. Are you sure it's here? Yeah, but it must have slipped down into the guttering. Did you hear it clatter? Did you hear it fall? Before he can answer, I run downstairs on a hunch, open the patio door, and there is the smoke alarm lying on the floor outside. It was there all this time, a little twisted but still bleeping defiantly. Most importantly, within reach. I press the reset button. Sweet, sweet silence. I'm sorry, Peach. I'm an idiot. I just assumed it was on the roof. I blame sleep deprivation. Please don't tell anyone about this.
I did say that.
Oh, dear me. Yeah. Which can only remind me of the time Jamie spent a month to fix his windscreen washers, took it to the garage three times. They told him they were working. Jamie couldn't get them to work. And then he realised he was pulling the indicator instead of the correct one.
Just flashing people. Yeah. For no reason.
So there we go. There we go. That's the man you're
dealing
with.
Strong work, Jamie. Did George manage to sleep through that?
Yeah, that was the amazing thing. George slept through the entire saga.
I bet you slept through most of it while Lauren was doing all that Googling.
I didn't. I was upstairs racking my brain. I almost got on the roof. I almost got in my boxes onto the roof and tried to scale down to the guttering.
It almost sounds like a hilarious episode of Rick and Morty if there was some sci-fi involved. Let's talk about it. Rick is the grandson of Morty, who still lives in the house with
other
Rick's
way around.
Parents.
Morty
is the grandson of Rick. Rick is still living with the whole family in the house. Morty's parents doesn't like the fact that Morty's dad doesn't like the fact that Rick still lives in the house. And this we learn in episode one, and it's a science fiction. Rick takes Morty on adventures into different science fiction worlds to solve problems and essentially save the world at great expense of Morty's education and focus at school, which is where his dad thinks he should be instead. That's basically the premise. And I've watched episode one plus maybe a couple more in the background while I've been doing things.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound like you're enjoying it.
Oh, you always tell me off for doing that.
I know. Matt, how much have you watched?
7 episodes.
Wow. Is that off the back of this podcast or you'd already watched it?
I'd watched 4 maybe, and then I carried on a little bit to prep.
Have you got any problems with it? Have you like stopped at 7, or have you just are you
no?
Happily...
This is where I'm up to.
Okay, you're trotting on.
Do you want me to dive into it now?
Well, finally, Jack, you're a big fan, yeah?
Yeah, I'm up to date. Watched all of them,
and Jamie as well, yeah.
All
okay. Yeah, let's delve into it because I've got issues, Matt.
Whoa!
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I've had a lot of people have recommended this to me, not just you people on this show who I have no respect for, like some of my friends who I choose to spend time with whose opinions I value.
Real fair.
And obviously, I'm a big fan of Community, which was also created by Dan Harmon, and I went into this wanting to just go, brilliant, love it. Mm. But that hasn't happened. Mm. I wouldn't say that I dislike it, but at the moment I am just, I'm kind of confused by it. Mm. It's like around 5 or 6 episodes, I started to enjoy it a little bit more. It still doesn't make me laugh. I kind of like some of the stuff it's doing, but some of the stuff is most of the time I'm just watching it and it's just kind of washing over me. It's like clipping my nails or something. It's not something that I enjoy. It's something that you just kind of do. Mm. And I don't know what else to make of it. I mean, I am sellable on this, but at the moment I don't get it.
Okay. Last week, We discussed Girl Boss, and many people said it wasn't funny.
Howell's in for vengeance here. Howell's out for
vengeance. I put a big call out for anyone to email me on my side, and I received an email from Kyle, who Mel predicted might email and back me up, saying he agrees completely with Mel and everyone else who was criticising it, and he had the same problems. And yeah, again, we come back to the question of like redeemable characters and real characters. And I think the more I think about it, the more I think Americans just want people to be like morally superior to us. It's almost like people have occupied the world of religious Mary Whitehouse type things. It's like, oh, how can we watch this purple person? They have no morals. I enjoy watching that person. And to that end, this certainly doesn't worry about that in the way that Dan Harmon does very well. He enjoys challenging, morality for the sake of comedy. We shouldn't be bothered about whether he's been pulled out of school or anything, and I'm not bothered by that. But I would prefer to watch Girl Boss. I really would.
Oh, what?
Jesus
Christ. Can we just put Girl Boss aside for 1 minute and judge this objectively rather than as a comparison?
I mean, you're carrying a lot of baggage there, Howell. A lot of baggage.
Honestly, you're supposed to
be the host of this show and carry a little bit of professionalism rather than just a personal grudge.
It's not a personal grudge.
You've been in a sulk for an entire week.
No, and
now you've brought it into this podcast and you're spreading it all over us like muck.
I thought it important with my audience here of Jack and Jamie, who were both my nemesis last week, to show them, to explain to them how difficult their job is. And it's not a grudge, I promise. So problems with episode one, which is the point here. Before we go beyond episode one, I found the burping he does, the sort of acid reflux.
Oh, man.
Really bothers me. And in episode
one... Me too,
one,
man. I hate it.
Yeah. Now I've gone on to episode two, because I find that stuff quite funny in that literally that gag. I saw, what's his name? Dame Edna. What's his name? Real man. Dame Edna?
I don't know.
Barry Humphries.
Barry something.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Saw him doing his character Les live last year on his last tour, and he did a whole bit about acid reflux, and it was absolutely bloody hilarious. In this one, it really started to bother me, and they do tamper that down after the pilot. I did notice in episode two there's less of it.
It does become less and less. It's got to the point now where I hardly even notice when he's doing it, to be honest.
I get the feeling that was some feedback that they got, like, that they had to listen to eventually. It's more that I think, like, now that F is for Family exists and it's awesome, and now, and South Park still exists, I'm just kind of going, where does this... If this podcast is about persuading people to spend their time on it, I'm kind of like, it's quite funny, but like Matt, I'm really not laughing. I haven't done a laugh out loud at anything.
No, zero lols for me so far.
Yeah. So are you two lolling at this?
I went back and watched the first episode a few weeks ago, most of the first season, to be honest, and I have to admit that I didn't find that as funny as season two or season three. I think with season one, it was a bit... not unfunny, but I did have the same problem, and the only reason why I carried on is because so many people had recommended it to me that I thought I'm just gonna have to battle. And the episodes are only 20 minutes, half an hour, so it is. And like you said, they are very easy to put on in the background and just let sort of wash over you.
And I must say, like, that feeling of like, I'm kind of watching this, it's doing some interesting stuff, I'm not lolling. That is very reminiscent of how I felt when I started watching Community, and it took me a good half a series before I started really laughing at that show, and it became one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, you're right.
So this has got a lot of leeway for me.
But there's also I see the setup is the same every week, as is many cartoons. But the old guy drags the young guy into difficult, horrendous situation. The young guy is at maximum 10 panic mode. The old guy is willing to do anything to achieve what he wants to achieve, and it'll be resolved. And in amongst that is, whilst I'm going to keep bringing it back to what we discussed last week, because only because it was the last discussion and we were talking about humour, is that the problem we had last week was about the cruelty of a character. The cruelty of the humour in this, so you get that set up, but the humour, the Dan Harmon humour that comes through this, I don't think has as much heart as Community does.
Haven't watched enough to say that.
No. So far, my ignorant view is that it doesn't feel like it's got as much heart. And it reminds me, I could never get into Futurama versus The Simpsons, you know. Whether that's a problem with sci-fi stuff, I don't know. But I like Star Trek.
I found that I couldn't get into Futurama. But this, like I said, I think is absolutely brilliant. And I do know what you're saying about you, especially in the first season, there isn't much of, from what I can remember, there isn't much of a narrative, like an overarching narrative throughout the season. It kind of finishes where it started almost. There isn't a big build-up. Whereas in the second season, it does build up to something. There is more of a story behind it, and it doesn't wash over you as easily. It's just getting to that point that can be a bit.
I don't think I have a problem with that as a way of doing things. Like I say, I'm beginning to enjoy some of the stuff they're doing. I've just watched. It's called the episode's called Raising Gazorpazorp.
Oh yeah.
Which is, I think, the best one I've seen so far. And also I enjoyed the one where Morty asks Rick to make him a love potion. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, at the school disco. Did you not like the one where the dog takes over the house and becomes a robot lawnmower dog episode?
Yeah, I did vaguely like that one. Yeah, but let's not get too much into discussing the individual plots, but I don't have any problem with the with a non-season arc. I don't care about that, or the repetition. I just kind of, I don't see what it's doing. Things just seem to happen without any. And I know it's a cartoon. It's like, I don't expect there to be spend episode 5 getting over what happened in episode 4. I know it doesn't work like that, but it's just like a really weird random series of events at the moment.
Mm. You want to wait until you get to season 3, the last episode, Jamie?
Yeah. I'm up to I've only just started season 3, so I might have missed the one you're talking about.
It does stay like that. There are bits, especially in this last season, that you just think, where is this going? And even I've started to question it a little bit. But then I've grown to love it over the last 2 seasons, so I'm sticking with it. And I do now, I hate to use the phrase, but I do end up lolling whilst watching it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Howell and Matt. And I think that when you first watch it, it's a very kind of nervy, kind of sporadic, a little bit kind of a weird, a very kind of odd concept and a very hyperactive show. Like, it's very hyperactive mind working on the show, you feel like.
I think Dan Harmon drunk, actually. That's what I think.
Well, the thing is, the concept came from him and the other creator, I believe he's called Justin Roiland. The concept came from they did a parody film of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, you got the Doctor and you got it, obviously.
Yeah, I got
And so it came from a concept that, and then they built on that, and they built these characters into, they made them more different and interesting from that perspective. And I do think you're right. It is an odd show. It's a very weird and very fast paced show. But the more you get into it, the more you understand the characters, and the more you follow it, like the burping, Jack said, you almost don't. I don't even notice the belch. Like, the belching is really, really, it really punctuates the show in the first series. Like, you're constantly noticing it, and there are times where you're grossed out by it. Like, it really does sort of bother you. But as the show goes on, it's like it just doesn't even register now when I'm watching an episode. It's just not even there. I don't even notice him doing it. And when I do notice him doing it, it usually is when they're doing it purposely for a really good comic moment, and it works.
Comedy gold, definitely.
Something I really hate is when people say, use passion project as an insult, right? I really frigging hate that. Oh, is this a passion project? I heard somebody else being accused of it today over something that was really good, and so I'm wary to use this term. But that whole, I got immediately in the first 20 seconds that it was a Back to the Future kind of thing. But it's that classic kind of quite smug, quite cynical. If Back to the Future was real, wouldn't it be wrong that like an old man was taking this 16-year-old around? Isn't it like a bit sick and a bit wrong? And what do they think at school about him going missing? And did you know this? And it felt like when I watched Harmontown, it felt like when you see Dan Harmon at his worst, at his most angry at the world, it felt like this is a result of that brain rather than I prefer
Are you serious?
Back to
you
the
actually,
future.
You're sitting there going, I'm worried that he's missing school.
No, I'm saying that's there. I can hear them pitching that concept of going, hey, let's do a stand-up comedy bit about Back to the Future. Okay?
Right,
isn't this
okay.
a bit pervy? Gotcha. You know? And just generally, I don't think South Park has survived as long as it has because they did that. I don't think they did. South Park took whatever a conventional wisdom is and broke it down. So that can keep going forever, that concept. This one feels to me just much more cold-hearted than the setup of Community and all of that other stuff, which tamps down Dan Harmon's ability to be a nihilist towards the world. You know, this feels more like a nihilistic view on stuff, which just doesn't make me feel
there is an element
I
don't
be there.
Yeah, there is an element of that, but I think it's actually just exploring it. Like, it's very clever. Yeah. A lot of the concepts it's looking at are quite clever, and it's also like, in a way, he's discussing things in a very. There is a lot of heart in the fact that he's actually looking at things in great detail about what life is and about different sort of dimensions and different alternate realities that we could all be in, and the relationships are actually quite strong. The relationship between Rick and Morty. It's quite a strong relationship they have, and the sister comes into it more. And the mum and dad, I mean, the dad is hilarious. The dad has a really fascinating journey. But, like, you know, Rick and Morty's kind of relationship is very strained, but and Rick is a very, very harsh, cold character. Mm. But he is, underneath it all, he really loves his family, and you really get more and more to see that as you go along. And the humour... You know, it might not necessarily come out in the cruelness of it all at the start, but the humour sort of flowers more as you delve into the world of Rick. And as he takes Morty on these adventures, you see that he's actually quite a lonely guy. And you see where it's coming from. He's a guy living in the garage with this incredible brain. And, you know, I think you will, if you follow and you stick with it, you will sort of find yourself drawn to him a lot more.
Yeah, the heart comes out of it. You really begin to like the characters as long as you stick with it, a bit like Girl Boss. So.
There we go.
Well, yeah, as I said last week, I'll do you that deal, Jamie. That's absolutely fine.
The thing is, though, right, and I remember watching the first episode of Rick and Morty, and I remember watching the first episode of, what's her name, Boss Girl. and I came out, and I can tell you, when I came out of Rick and Morty, I don't think I laughed a great deal, but I was, it fascinated me, and I was like, I kind of want to know more, and
you
I didn't
see
come
that it's
out
got
that
potential.
Yeah, and I thought this could be really funny, and I didn't feel like with Girl Boss, even though I am going to continue to at least watch three more, however, as I agreed. But it didn't feel like with Girls. First of all, it wasn't a concept that I was kind of like drawn into.
Hey,
and
we're not
like
here to talk about
more.
Your sexism at being a, you know, obviously no, you, it's more comfortable.
Last week all right, I talked right. about Girls and I talked about Fleabag, two female-driven comedies that are absolutely brilliant. Don't you even go down that road.
It's a lot, you know, demographic-wise, it's going to be that you're going to enjoy a male piss take of Back to the Future a little bit more. But we're not here to talk about that. Adam's joined us.
Hello.
Adam, oh my God, you've turned Whoa. In at the end and sounding atrocious. You're basically the guy that's turned up at the party as everyone's leaving and you're absolutely wasted.
That's so often me, as well you know.
Carrying a Tesco
that's
bag of empty booze.
I drank it all at the bus stop, I'm sorry.
Adam, I take it you're a big Rick and Morty fan.
Why would you assume that?
Because you're here.
Yeah, I am reasonably, actually. Yeah, I'm not. I like it despite not wanting to at all.
Did you consider betraying the show there just to make Howell wrong?
I will do anything to make Howell sound wrong.
Why do you say that you did? You didn't want to, despite not wanting to?
Being the terrible, pretentious arsehole I am, I kind of thought adult animation was, I thought I was done with it. You know, for much of the sort of same reason that, you know, there's a point where you stop watching Family Guy and all that sort of stuff, even if you know it's possibly still funny. I just didn't think I was looking for an animated series. Like, I'd watched a few things like BoJack Horseman, which just didn't really do it for me. There's quite a few shows that I've tried and not really felt were great. But there's something about Rick and Morty, isn't there, that's just that little bit extra. It's got that kind of appeal to people.
But
did you not enjoy it?
Yeah, I did enjoy it. It just didn't have the heart that Community has, and it just feels more cynical.
You didn't enjoy Community at the start, didn't you? Didn't we spend quite a while arguing with you about saying there was heart in Community?
Yeah, and again, I think...
I went back to it and enjoyed it.
Yes. Oh, I loved it. Watched every episode.
Oh,
but
brilliant.
I think, unfortunately, that anything Howell says about Rick and Morty at the moment is going to be tainted, because really... He just needs to just calm down, forget about that girl boss, come back and watch it in a couple of months maybe and see if he can actually enjoy it.
Let me tell you a little truth here. I watched the first episode of Rick and Morty before we recorded the podcast about girl boss.
It's poisoned. It's been poisoned.
Opinions were
the well is gone.
There is, in Community, I find the same thing, though. I think with Dan Harmon's stuff, there is three tones. One tone is over emotional, kind of, you know, the big end speech can be a little bit too much sometimes. The last series is not very good at all. There is also the too cruel, too angry at the world, too cynical tone. And then when he's on his sweet spot, which he's just...
Can you give me an example of that?
No,
good. Carry on.
Get back to you on that. Certainly, Rick and Morty, but in Community, there's the later series. Even when everyone hailed his return, for me, in the last couple of series, there is a lot of stuff which is just kind of harsh, mechanical, plot-driven stuff, rather than the wonderful inventiveness that we had around the times of Paintball and those sort of episodes and. The end of season one and season two. And that's when he's at his absolute best, is when he feels kind of good about the world, confident enough to criticise it, but also get a bit of, like, love in there as well, you know. And with Rick and Morty, I feel like he's loving the form. And it's fast, it's smart. There's comedians signed up by episode three. There's John Oliver and there's, you know, phenomenal people. John Hamm, I think, is in it. There's people signing up left, right and centre. And yet...
It's got quite a list of cameos, actually. I did look through that earlier.
And yet, I feel like they certainly wouldn't have signed up to that if it wasn't Dan Harmon's, who from Community, who was doing it by that point. Maybe
no,
in season
of course
two
not.
Or three, they would have.
Where were you up to, Hal? How much have you
just
have
like
you watched
two
a bit?
Two and a half episodes, something like that?
Yeah, I can say it's one of those things. You don't sort of judge it on the way that we probably do on these, where I like, sit down and watch four shows and then commit to it for a season. You know, I've only watched somewhere in season two, and it's one of those that I just put on backgroundy, and it's just slowly got under my skin.
Yeah,
and you know, I've not committed to it. I'm not binging it. I'm not a fanboy for the show, but. It's you, if you just have enough episodes on, you realize that it's smart, but he's not worried about the form. He's not forcing himself. Like you say, that some of the later Community stuff, he's forcing the form to get an angry point made or a sincere point made or whatever. And it sometimes feels a little contrived. Whereas this, he has really just found the kind of freedom of the form where he can go, oh, this is just right. I'm going to assume that everybody is fine with this multi-dimensional thing that I've set up in another series. Like, it's full of references
great.
To Community.
Like, I'm all
you're
for
exactly
people
right.
doing that. I'm
you
all
only
for people
appreciate
doing
this if you understand him from Community. But it feels like he's really sort of let the handbrake go and just reels out gags and absurdities. And it's I think it's a really smart way of doing that. It's like it's a perfect vehicle for someone who's a really funny guy who clearly got pissed off with making a season, you know, a series, a conventional sitcom.
Well, based on an episode and a half, I feel like he benefited from having producers in a conventional sitcom. We're watching the wheels rattle off of a man who's
that's the way
freedom he wanted.
That's the way. I mean, Adam summed it up really well there. I can't say much better, but you know that freewheeling feel, Howell.
Yeah.
That you feel like you're watching it almost a breakdown happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that becomes what the show is. Like watching this kind of sci-fi high concept breakdown happen every episode, but it's kind of, it becomes more fun.
Let me ask you simple, practical question. What time of day do you watch this in the background, Adam?
Later evening.
Yeah. I usually watch it around 9:30.
Yeah, you see, I tend to do my solo watching at like 11 o'clock at night, and it's pretty full on for that time.
You see, all these new episodes from season 3, I've been watching them in the morning. I still find them just as good. When I did first start watching it was when I was at uni still, so that would be,
well, I think that's a good bit of practical advice, that though. It's like, actually, if you're not 20 years old and still have an erection at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think it's probably good to watch it when you're awake, because it is a bit more like the burping and everything. I do find myself going, oh, I'm too tired for this. Plus, I've had man flu for the last few days, which really doesn't help anything. So, you know, I will continue. This will be more background watching.
Yeah,
but it's certainly.
You need to throw away two lots of baggage, Howie. You need to throw away your girl boss baggage. You need to throw away your Dan Harmon baggage. Throw them both out of the car and drive smoothly towards the sunset of Rick and Morty.
Mm. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Ozark next week. Who's watched Ozark?
I've been watching it.
Anyone else?
Never heard of it.
No, not yet, but yeah, it's on my list.
It's new, it's on Netflix, it stars Jason Bateman, and he's directed a lot of them as well. Matthew's back. Matt, have you watched Ozark? Matthew's back, but not really. Matt? No.
Is it a Netflix original, this one? Because I've seen somewhere they've cancelled another one this week, Gypsy.
Right.
That's been cancelled again. When you were saying with Girl Boss last week, that's been cancelled too. So
yeah.
Ozark is really, it's fresh out of the oven. I'd be interested in what you see. Let's not. I won't give any opinions, but it'd be good for you. Give it one episode, because I tell you what, episode one is quite a doozy, isn't it, Howell?
It's a strong first episode, and it accurately depicts what you're going to experience for the rest of the series. So. It's a good litmus test. Mm. Matt, have you seen Ozark?
Am I back in the room?
You're back in the room.
I got lost there.
Have you seen Ozark?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, get on it. It's next week. It's new. Oh, he's not keen.
Don't know. My dad likes it.
Let's not get into your psychotherapy again.
Get your dad on the pod.
Someone get me a therapist and Matt's dad. We're next week. Therapy on the podcast. It's new and it's really good, or at least it's really good. It's really good. Get it on. Ozark next week. Thank you, everybody.
Who just left?
Nobody. I think James in the oven.
Someone just slammed the door behind him. Oh,
that was me just shutting the oven door. I just put an apple crumble in.
I see. Ignore me. I see. It was all that a euphemism? Have you just been to the toilet?
No, but when Jamie first rang me, I was just flushing the toilet and walking out the bathroom.
Nice.
I thought you were smoking something. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Mutually exclusive. All that could have been happening.
Yeah, Matt's got a question.
Can I just say something briefly about last week?
Oh Jesus, let's do it.
Oh, no, I think we're gonna get. Let's get. I think he's gonna apologize.
I know. I'm not gonna apologize, but I listened back to the podcast. Mm. And actually, maybe we do owe you an apology, Hal, because the way it got dragged down, we should make a rule again that from now on that we will never again discuss whether a character is allowed to behave how they behave on a TV show.
Mm.
Because there was a point where we were talking, where I can't remember who was discussing, but they were discussing why the history of the character led to them behaving that way and how they shouldn't behave that way, and therefore that was somehow a judgment on the show. I thought that was ludicrous.
This is my interesting point. It's the Americans. Mel and Kyle, you can defend yourselves, but I'm telling you, it's a cultural difference. They really do. I've noticed it in all of the sort of, you know, the shows that are attached to shows, the commentary shows and things. I've noticed it in all of them. They talk about the characters in a way that only in Britain, Mary Whitehouse and kind of conservative religious groups and stuff talk about them, which is about redeemableness. She shouldn't do this. Like they're a real person, like this person shouldn't. It's like going, Scarface is a bad man because he's shot.
But I think, yes, you made your own bed with this. Okay. You made your own bed with it because you came in prepared for that to be the problem with the show.
No, I came in thinking everyone was going to love it.
You came in thinking that people were going to dislike the main character.
Well, I'll tell you that, yes, that's true. That's true. But I didn't think that it would be...
And that should be an irrelevance. I was trying to say when I came on that I disagree with that.
I disagree. If you don't like a character, if you don't like the main character, that's a very good reason not to want to carry on watching something.
There's a difference between liking a main character because they are good, they draw you in, they make you interested, and difference between liking them for that and their motivations and their actions. Yeah. Because you can't tell me there are characters out there who do worse things than Sophia and Girl Boss enjoy, because it's not a moral judgment. It's about how well drawn they are, not whether they're nice or not. And that shouldn't be a consideration.
To defend Mel, I don't think Mel was just specifically saying that she was judging her actions and thinking.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to slag off Mel, but there was a point in there where it was like, why should she be able to behave like this because she's had this upbringing? It's like she was trying to justify her position. It's like, this is a character. There's no point in this. If you don't like them because that you don't think they're well done, fair enough.
Yeah,
you can't dismiss a series because you think a character should have done something differently than they did.
I've thought about that podcast a lot since as well, and that is exactly what I've thought about, which is that I just want to say again, I love it. I want you to carry on with it because I look at that character, not aspirational that I want to be her. I look at her in the same way that you look at somebody who is fascinating and you go, what are they about? And the longer the series goes on, the more it does that. And I swear, the reason Netflix have cancelled this show, in my opinion, has nothing to do with ratings. I am certain of it.
I did carry on with the show.
And
I've watched four, maybe five episodes of it, and I just think it's average.
Fair enough.
I said last week I didn't have any problem with the character. That wasn't my issue. And you do see a bit more heart as you go a little bit further, but it's just I just don't think it's particularly well done. That's it. Yeah. That's all of it.
It's an interesting real life documentary. Go on.
I was going to say, as a listener to last week's pod, and I was only listening to it this morning at time of recording, I could kind of tell that Matt and Hal were having different arguments about a character. Yeah, Hal, you were defending the actions of the character, and Matt was saying it just wasn't really well done. And it's a completely different thing, isn't it? You can like an unlikable character if there's really compelling performance and compelling reasons for why that character is how they are, or if they're just done in an entertaining way, a well-performed way.
Well, I think I think that the issue there is that the point of this podcast is that every argument that people make, like I have today about Rick and Morty, is to say it isn't very well done. So the reason we don't carry on with things is that intrinsically we think it's not very well done. It's not for me, this. Whereas that, I think, with Girl Boss has been confused. I'm not saying it's very, very, very well done, the best thing ever, but I'm saying in all the discussion about it, it has become about the lack of aspirational nature of this character. Those two things have been mixed together. I'm like, no, put that aside. And wait and see, like with any other thing, wait and see if you start to think it is well done. Maybe you would.
Yeah, but I mean, for you, Howell, you couldn't. You've got a Dan Harmon hang up, right? Haven't
yeah,
you?
And exactly. You, I was just about to say this. Yeah.
You definitely went into Rick and Morty with that Dan Harmon stigma over your.
What do you mean?
Perception.
I love Dan Harmon. I think it's something. I went in thinking I'm going to love this as much as Community. That's what I went in thinking. And then I went, oh, it's Futurama, but a kind of cynical piss take of Back to the Future. That's what I thought.
But what I was going to say, Harold, is that you can't level that argument that it's not done well at something like Girls or at something like Transparent, which are the other episodes of this show where we've had discussions about whether or not it's worth watching characters who you don't aspire to enjoy.
Yeah, but apples and pears, I think, with those things.
Oh, right, apples and pears.
Yeah, when it's
nothing
all right,
like
yeah,
the.
Well, I'll see you next week, guys.
I think it's very easy with a slow, burny kind of Transparent and Girls are kind of art house filmed, slow character stuff. I've seen a million things made by students that are beautifully shot and really well made. It's the classic thing of drama. If you're going at a slower pace, just is easier than doing something like quite a shiny, fast pace. Real life nasty character story, and I thought it was really well made. I think the depiction of San Francisco, all of that stuff that I mentioned last week, you know. So, it is
definitely San Francisco, you can see that from the show.
Yeah, I just think it's easier than I just think it's easier with Girls and Transparent to say, look at how worthy I am. Whereas with this style of stuff, it's really not easy to say that.
I don't think there's that much of a gulf between Girls and this. In terms of their style and their goal, but I would say there is a massive gulf in terms of their execution.
Okay, I don't agree about style, maybe goal, but style, if it was Girls, you'd have a 10-minute sequence of her lying on her bed wondering about what she's going to do instead of a, you know, 90
seconds. Yeah, it'd be really good.
Yeah, but the one is, I think...
Also, I don't know, I don't take your point there. I don't think it's a slow pace at all. I think it's quite quick I think there are stylistic parallels in terms of the way they use music, in terms of the way they shoot the city they're in terms of the way they treat that and the environment they're in, and the way the characters are drawn as well. I think they are quite similar.
Look,
I've
tried to make sure that we don't go on about Girl Boss on this podcast, and look what's happening. So crack on with both Rick and Morty and Girl Boss, but certainly Ozark episode 1 by next week. Thank you, Matthew, Jack's gone, Adam, Jamie. Good stuff. See you next week for Ozark, which is great.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Looking forward to
no spoilers.